have studied it. How is your biblical instruction going? About fellowship, are you devoted to fellowship? Because we need one another. We're designed to need one another. We thrive when we're in relationships. After all, we're created in the image of God, being created in the image of a God who is, was, always has been, and always will be existing in an eternal relationship in the Trinity. That God is, in his essence, a relational being. And so we, as we reflect our God, must be devoted to fellowship, because he tells us we need one another to live the Christian life. How's your fellowship? Are you spending time together, but not just hanging out? Are you spending time together and caring for one another's needs? Do your relationships have a spiritual focus, or are they always only about sports and the weather? Are they hollow? Are they shallow? Are they 21st century digital relationships only? Devoted to worship, devoted to biblical instruction, devoted to fellowship, and devoted to service. Are you following Christ's example as the great servant? Spend some time on the plane ride back, looking through some of my old DTS notes, and I was looking at the book of Mark, and it's amazing how, as you study the theme and the structure of the book of Mark, in the end, it really all hinges on the idea of Jesus being a servant. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. You look at the Gospels, and you look at the life that Jesus lived, and he lived the life of a servant. Are you following Christ's example and being a servant, the one so humble that even though he was God, he took the very form of a servant? How's your service? Are you loving one another by serving each other in the home, in the workplace, in a church? Are you devoted to service? Are you devoted to fellowship? Are you devoted to biblical instruction? Are you devoted to worship? And finally, are you devoted to evangelism? Are you announcing the good news of salvation? How can you be a mature disciple, a mature follower of Christ, and not constantly want to tell other people about him? Do you fall into the traps, into the excuses of being afraid, of not having opportunities, or do you seek out opportunities? Do you assume that every time you talk about Jesus, it's going to result in failure, or do you look forward to the joy that the gospel can bring to other people's lives and to your own? This is what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who is devoted to worship, to prayer and praise of the Savior, who is devoted to biblical instruction, to ordering their lives around what the Bible says, who is devoted to fellowship, who recognizes they can't do it on their own, who is devoted to service, who follows the example of Christ and serves one another, and is devoted to evangelism, who can't help but tell others about the Savior. And I'd like to remind us of who is responsible for doing this. This was the second week of this series where we looked at it and we said, really, there's three parties who are responsible for making disciples. That really, if you lose any of the three, then you lose sight of how disciples are to be made. And I think that once we understand, and now that we understand better what a disciple is, I think you'll grasp why all three parties have to be involved in a much greater way than we could before we had spent 5 weeks going through each of these areas. There are three parties responsible for making disciples. First and foremost, God is responsible. He is the sovereign God who oversees our growth, and it is the Son, Jesus, who gave us the task to make disciples and declared that he would be with us in our task, and it is, of course, the Holy Spirit who guides and encourages us through this process. First and foremost, God is responsible for making disciples, but second, it is the church who is responsible for making disciples. That God has tasked the church with making disciples. After all, it is the church who provides opportunities for worship. as you have this morning. It is the church who provides opportunities for biblical instruction through Bible studies, through Sunday schools, through Sunday morning sermons. It is the church where we find fellowship with other believers. You cannot experience fellowship with other believers without experiencing the church, the body of Christ. It is the church that gives us opportunities to serve one another, that leads us in things like ShareFest, that gives us opportunities to serve through the ministries that we have here. It is the church that should encourage and instruct us in how to evangelize. It is the church, then, that plays such a vital role in all five of these areas of what it means to be a mature disciple. So God is responsible for making disciples, and the church is responsible for making disciples, but the individual is responsible as well. Because as we talked about last week, look, you don't just fall asleep one night and wake up a disciple the next day. That we can't passively stumble into discipleship. The church can't simply transform us into disciples. God won't force us into being mature disciples if we are not willing. That it is our responsibility to respond to God's leading and the church's guidance and commit ourselves to being devoted to worship, to biblical instruction, to fellowship, to service, and evangelism. Because in order for someone to be devoted to all five of these areas, as you see, it is a big task, and it takes the individual being willing. And it takes the church guiding and giving opportunities, and it takes God inspiring and leading. And what happens when you leave out one of these responsible parties? What happens when you ignore God's part in discipleship? What happens is you end up with a do-it-yourself list that you believe is all up to you. Follow this set of rules and everything's on you. What pressure and what a terrible burden to bear. And what a hopeless burden to bear, because frankly, I know what I'm like. And I know that without God inspiring and forgiving and cleansing and leading and encouraging me, that I will never devote myself to these five things without His Spirit. You leave God out, you end up with a do-it-yourself legalism-based discipleship. What happens when you leave out the church? When it's just you and God? When you leave out the church, you've abandoned God's established institution for making disciples. And of course, it becomes far more difficult to devote yourselves to these things. Right? The church is all about worship and biblical instruction and service and fellowship and evangelism. This is what the church does. So if you're going to be devoted to these five things, why in the world would you somehow think you could do this without the church? When you leave out the church, you simply can't become a mature disciple. If for no other reason that you need fellowship, and the church is the body of Christ, you can't have fellowship without the body of Christ. And what happens when you leave out the individual? What happens when you forget about your own personal responsibility in becoming and making mature disciples? Suddenly you get into this passive change me mentality. It's these people who bounce around from place to place because they say, well, the churches just haven't succeeded in changing me yet. I just haven't found what I'm looking for. Because they aren't willing to take responsibility themselves. Discipleship has to be an intentional action, that you will never become a mature disciple through passivity. This is what a disciple is, someone who's devoted to worship, biblical instruction, fellowship, service, and evangelism. But there are three parties involved, and if you leave any one of the three out, it's just not going to happen. You can't become a mature disciple without God, without the church, without the individual. You have no hope in making disciples without God, without the church, without the individual's consent. And as I look at what a disciple is, and as I consider the church's responsibility in making disciples, I see how clearly it connects with the mission that we have here at Grace. I think about growing family. right? Growing family because we are a family, and recognize the need for fellowship inside the body and the need for a growing body through evangelism. Following Christ, because that's what a disciple is at its heart, right? A follower of Christ. We follow Christ by worshiping Him. We follow Christ by learning about Him through biblical instruction as He revealed Himself to us in the Bible. We follow Christ's example when we serve others. We follow Christ when we love one another in fellowship. We follow Christ when we spread the good news of salvation. Growing family, following Christ, sharing with others. Now, isn't this what service and evangelism are about? It's about sharing with others. Sharing love, sharing kindness, sharing things. Most importantly, sharing the gospel. And so I look at what we're called to do in making disciples and what a disciple is and who's responsible. And I look at what grace is about, what we've declared ourselves to be about, what we say we want to be about. And I see how they align, and I'm happy about that because I know then that we here at Grace are going to be intentional about this. And that if you're invested here, then you'll be invested in this process of making disciples because that's what we're all about. And so in the end, this all boils down to two challenges. 7-8 weeks of thought all come down to these two challenges. What are you doing in your life right now to become a mature disciple? And number two, what are you doing in your life right now to make disciples? What are you doing in your life right now to become a mature disciple? Because you got to have all five of these, and that's the kicker, I think. I would say that before we began this series, many of us in here probably would have said, yeah, I think I'm a pretty mature disciple. Not perfect, certainly, but a mature disciple. And yet, when we inspect our lives, we often find at least one of these five is missing. And isn't that the difficult part? You got to have all five. You got to catch them all. How many of us really would consider ourselves mature disciples without realizing that we're missing at least one key component? But what are you doing right now to be making disciples? What is your role in this process? What is your role in the process of making disciples? What is your role one-on-one? What is your personal role? And then how do you fit into a group idea of making disciples? How do you fit into this disciple-making process? As a special, particular individual created by God with special gifts and talents, what are you doing with who God made you to be? What are you doing to make disciples of others? I trust that by now you realize that this is not some sort of short-term, quickly attained, simple process. That there is no quickly done disciple. There's no quick fix. No become a mature disciple in 30 days program. And therefore, there can be no competing become a maturer disciple in just 26 days. Now, this isn't a one-time deal. It's not a strive at it for a week and you got it. It's not, well, spend an entire year devoted to it and you're there, and you never have to do anything else. Now, this, at its heart, is a lifestyle. It is a full-time commitment. You can't take time off. If you're not moving forward and you're maturing as a disciple, then you're moving backwards. Are you going to be devoted to these five areas? And notice this, that it's about being devoted to these things and not perfect in them. It's about being devoted and not perfect in them. Discipleship is a direction. It's an orientation. It's truly a devotion. It's not a state of being in a way. But if you think that at some point in time you will attain this state of perfect discipletude, that your expectations are off and you will always be disappointed. That it's not about perfection, it is about your orientation in life. It's not about saying, well, I can't be a businessman, I'm a disciple. Or, no, I can't be a disciple because I'm devoted to being a businessman. No, it's about how are you going to orient your life in your business? Because there's nothing about being devoted to worship, biblical instruction, service, fellowship, and evangelism that says you can't do every one of those things while being a businessman or a tent maker. So it is instead, it's not a state of being, it's not a state of perfection, it's about an orientation and devotion. And anywhere on one's journey toward becoming like Christ, you could be called a disciple if you are devoting yourselves to these five things, even in the midst of temporary failure. Just because you fail, just because you slip up here or there, doesn't mean that suddenly you've abandoned your desire to be a disciple. The question is, are you devoting yourself to becoming a disciple? However, it does seem reasonable to state then that anyone who rejects the challenge, who no longer desires to devote themselves to these things, ceases to follow Christ and removes yourself at least from the path of discipleship. And what is then the cost of this discipleship? It's a church sign one Sunday morning that said, cost of discipleship, this week only, 20% off. Yeah, if only, right? But I think sometimes we ask the wrong cost question. Sometimes we only think about what is the cost of discipleship. And we think about how difficult it'll be, and sometimes I think we fail to ask the question, what is the cost of not becoming a disciple? Because I think we should recognize that there's a cost either way. There's a cost in that you're giving something up, whichever path you choose. So that's what would it be like to live a life? What is the cost of not being a disciple? What is a life like where you're not a disciple of Christ? Well, frankly, I think you'll be free to choose your own path. Whatever way you want to go, you can go, the only guarantee being that your path will eventually dead end. That your path, though wide, may lead you astray, will certainly lead you to spiritual death. But you're free to choose it all on your own. What is the cost of not being a disciple? Well, you'll get along just fine with everyone you meet. Everyone will think you were quite a nice fellow or such a sweet lady, as your relationships are built only upon niceties and formalities. Never stepping on anyone's toes or having to confront anyone with grim realities about sin or hell or any of those uncomfortable topics. You'll spend all your time, your energy, and your money on yourself. And maybe on your family. But seeking out those in need and helping them, using your time, energy, and money to serve others, well, why would you do that? After all, life is about you now. You didn't spend your blood, sweat, and tears at work every day just so others could be happy. And on your life will go, undisturbed and undisrupted. And that's why, in a way, it is the easier path to choose. But you'll soon find that your life, though you choose the direction, is undirected. Now, though you seek out your own purpose, your life will end up purposeless, with no hope for a future. And if trials or difficulties come, your world will collapse because it's all about you. And one day as you lie on your deathbed, you'll realize that you lived only for yourself. Your relationships were shallow, never willing to take the time and say the difficult things. I think that is the cost of not being a disciple, that there truly is a cost, and And to not recognize that cost is to fail to recognize the truth about life. That we are created by God, and if we are not following the purpose that God gave us, then we will have no purpose at all. That if God is the one who created us, that He knows what is best for our lives, and He knows how we are to live our lives, and He's told us how we are to live our lives, and the cost of not living your life in the way that your Creator told you to live your life is dysfunction. When the first person made a car, he told somebody how it operates, that you got to turn this key, and then you got to push on these pedals, and this makes you go, and this makes you stop. And if somebody got in the back seat and said, this car doesn't work, it won't go, the maker of the car would have said, well, you're not following my instructions. Have you not figured this out? I'm the one who made it. I know how this works. You follow my instructions, and you'll get where you want to go. And for us to fail to recognize that God is the one who made us and gave us the instructions, that God is the one who created life and knows how life is supposed to work. And then when you get to your life and you decide to do things your way instead of the way that the Creator told you, well, you shouldn't be surprised if it doesn't exactly work out. And that is the cost of not being a disciple. On the other hand, what is the cost of being a disciple? Well, you'll have to give up much. It will cost you much. Some plans that you create will be ruined. And some of your hopes will be dashed, but will be replaced, as you know, with a greater plan. You'll have to give up control of your life, but be given a life by the one who came so that we could have life and have it to the full. And what a better life that will be. And to be honest, you won't be liked by everybody. And I'm pretty confident of that because Jesus wasn't liked by everybody. And His disciples weren't liked by everybody. So we should expect that as His disciples today, we won't be liked by everybody. But it will mean that we have spoken the truth in love in some difficult situations, that we will have truly loved those around us. What is the cost of discipleship? You will give up much, but you will experience true and deep relationships with those in the body of Christ. Meaningful friendships where you love and are loved in return, not for a mask that you put on, but for who you truly are. And your life will have meaning. It will have a purpose as you follow Christ's great commission for your life, Christ's declared purpose for you. Becoming a mature disciple and making disciples around you. And as you pass into eternity and you stand before Christ's throne, perhaps He'll say, I gave you a job. I told you to make disciples. And you did just that. Well done, good and faithful servant. So I ask you again, many weeks to all come to two challenges. What are you doing in your life right now to become a mature disciple of Christ? What are you doing in your life right now to become devoted to worship, to biblical instruction, to fellowship, to service, and evangelism? Challenge number two, what are you doing in your life right now to make disciples of others? It is not an easy path. We have 2,000 years of history that tell us that those who follow Christ often deal with difficult situations simply because of following Christ. But Jesus Himself told us, blessed are you when you are persecuted because of Me. Blessed are you when you follow Christ's purpose for your life. Blessed are you when you follow His great commission. So what are you doing right now to become a mature disciple of Christ? What are you doing right now to make disciples of others? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for sending Your Son to this earth. First and foremost, for sending Him to die for our sins. For if that gracious act of love had not been completed, then none of this would matter, then none of us would be sitting here today. We would have no hope for eternity with You. So we thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross. And we thank You for sending Your Son to teach us how we ought to live. Christ, we thank You for Your sacrifice upon the cross. We thank You for giving us this great task that lends purpose and meaning to a life that would otherwise be meaningless. We know, Jesus, that You told us that You want us to make disciples. And out of love and thankfulness, with joy in our hearts, we want to do what You want us to do because of Your great sacrifice on the cross. That out of love for You, we want to obey Your words. So Christ, help us as we make disciples of others. Holy Spirit, we know that this process of becoming a mature disciple is not something we can achieve on our own. That we are fallen and sinful, and that sinful nature will always push us away from worshiping God. That sinful nature will always tell us that we have better things to do than to spend our time in the Word serving others. Will always tell us that we should put up a mask and look good to others. That sinful nature will always tell us that it's too risky to witness. And so we ask, Spirit, Holy Spirit, that You would guide and encourage and lead us. For we know this process of becoming disciples is hopeless without You. So encourage us, Spirit, to become mature disciples ourselves. That as we consider these areas, that You will convict us in those areas that we fail at. Spirit, give us opportunities to make disciples, both as a body of believers and individually. Help us to seek out opportunities where we can share the good news with others. God, as we move forward from this sermon series, I ask that You would continually remind us of this great commissioning, this great task, that what we are to be about is making disciples. That Your Son's great words would never leave our hearts. It is in His name that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand as the worship band comes up.